This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Wong Kar Ming, CEO of Funding Societies Malaysia, a recognised market operator registered by the Securities Commission of Malaysia to operate a peer-to-peer financing platform. Kar Ming, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Joyce. Glad to be here.
Having started over 3 years ago, Funding Societies is in three countries today. You're in Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia, with a total value of over R1 billion of loans disbursed to date. It is the first P2P platform here in Malaysia. So share with us, how has the journey been thus far?
Yep. So Funding Societies launched in Malaysia back in 2017. And I think we have gone quite a distance in terms of introducing P2P financing to the Malaysian market, both to SMEs and investors. So when we started off, a lot of SMEs, the first thing they come to think about when we approach them is basically, are you a loan shark? Are you a money lender? And on the investor side, are you a money game, right? Are you a Ponzi scheme, right? So those were some of the initial thoughts that came to mind whenever we started approaching the Malaysian market when we started off in 2017. I think we have come quite a distance since then. But I think from a market education and awareness perspective, there's still a lot to be done. So for SMEs and investors in the metropolitan area, they're a lot more accustomed to P2P financing now. Mm-hmm. But once you go further out from the big major cities, I think that's where a lot of the education awareness still needs to happen. Mm. So going into a lot of the conferences and events, typically I do a quick check, like how many of them have heard about P2P financing. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot more hands being raised these days than, say, 2 years ago.
Mm, okay. So you actually started first in Singapore. That was over 3 years ago.
Yes,
then after
correct.
That, Indonesia was your second market, then
yes,
Malaysia.
Correct.
So where next?
So for us, the vision has always to be SME digital financing platform across Southeast Asia. So the next market that we go into would definitely be in the Southeast Asian region, mm-hmm. right? We are exploring opportunities and basically it's something that we'll share with everyone once we have it confirmed. But definitely you'll be Southeast Asia and definitely you'll be focusing on SME digital financing.
Okay, so you're in the SME industry, you give loans to the SME market. What's the breakdown of these SMEs like when they come to you for loans? What's the breakdown like?
So we serve the entire spectrum of SMEs, all the way from sole proprietorship partnerships, all the way to Sdn Bhd and even unlisted public companies in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So for us, the intention is to provide short-term financing to the entire spectrum of SMEs. So we do not discriminate smaller or do we discriminate against larger SMEs. The focus is providing a very different meeting a very different financing need than what traditional financial institutions have been very used to. Right. The value proposition for the different segment of SMEs are very different. If you talk about the micro SMEs, the sole props and the partnerships and the small SMEs to an extent, it is about access to financing. Right?
Okay.
So because that is an area or a segment of SMEs that is currently underserved or unserved by the traditional financial institutions. Mm-hmm. So the value proposition there is basically how do you give them access to financing, right? On the other end of the spectrum, you have, say, the large SMEs and the unlisted public companies. The value proposition there is basically, do you have a financing product that is flexible and that is fast enough for me to get access to the financing, right? Mostly these bigger SMEs, they already have a lot of bankers serving them, right? But where they need the service and the value proposition that attracts them is basically the speed in terms of being able to provide them the financing, as well as the flexibility in terms of tailoring the financing structure to their needs. Right?
When you say speed, how fast can they get access to financing?
A week. So upon submission of documents, mm-hmm. right, we can disperse as fast as a week. Typically, it's 2 weeks for the normal cases. But if there's an urgency for it, then we do our best to disperse it as quickly as possible. One of the cases that we did was, it was submitted on Thursday. We worked through the weekend and we dispersed on Tuesday.
And how big was that funding?
That was R2 million in terms
$2 million
of financing.
Ringgit. And that loan is still okay? It hasn't gone bad yet?
Nope. So fully repaid.
Okay. Well, your company default rate is about 1%, last check. Is
yes.
it still 1%?
Correct.
Okay. And you anticipate long-term default rate to be about 3% to 5%. That's fairly high compared to the industry average of banks.
So, yes, correct. So, we do have a target default rate of between 3% to 5%. Mm-hmm. But if you look at, say, the banking industry, coming up from my working experience, Working with some of the biggest financial institutions across the region, we do see that most banks, when it comes to SME clean financing, so uncollateralized financing, the default rates are typically in the mid to high single digits.
Okay.
Right. So for us, the target default rate is 3 to 5%. That is a level that we feel provides the right balance between being able to serve more SMEs, right, and being able to provide a reasonable return to investors. It is not a very hard thing to do in order to maintain a low default rate, because ultimately it's a question of risk appetite.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a very low default rate, you just have tougher conditions.
Stricter,
right?
Yeah.
So the question then becomes, what is your risk appetite?
Correct.
Our risk appetite is one of a default rate range between 3 to 5%. And the way that we arrived at that target range is basically figuring out what is the next best alternative investment opportunity for the investors, right? Considering defaults and considering taxes and service fees that platform charges. And at the same time, in terms of can the rate be sustainable from an SME perspective?
Mm.
Are they able to sort of pay that rate and still be feasible and sustainable from their business model perspective?
Okay. Well, I noticed that from the graph for Malaysia, the amount of financing disbursed jumped. Actually, it increased a lot from the last quarter towards the last few quarters of 2018. It seems to me like it's quite an aggressive pace. Why was that such a big jump? And are you concerned when it comes to defaults? Because naturally, I mean, SMEs, there is some risk, you know, of going bust or having insufficient cash flow to repay loans. So the more you loan, the potential of the loan going bad is higher. So what safeguards have you put in place to protect yourself from a ballooning credit bubble?
Yep. So if you, it is correct that the disbursement amount has jumped in the last quarter compared to the previous quarters, but it is a natural occurrence that we observe throughout the three markets that we've been in. So what we observed is that when you enter a new market and when you start growing the company, so that means you do more education, you do more awareness, you be out there a lot more, right? You be seen a lot more. You meet with more SMEs, you hire a bigger team, you talk to partners to refer you to SMEs and so on and so forth. Those things take time.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, there is a gestation period that you see happening. So whenever you enter into a new partnership, whenever you hire a new salesperson, so on and so forth, it takes time before the particular partnership or person becomes productive, right? And that's one of the key contributing factors to the jumps that you see, right? So we would expect to see similar jumps in the future again, right? So it could be for the first 3-6 months, you'll be disbursing, say, 1 or 2 million ringgit per month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the track record that we had in the first couple of months.
Okay.
And then for the next six to nine months, it was 3 million per month or 5 million per month. And likewise, 7-9 million per month.
Mm.
It's never going to be a smooth growth curve.
Okay.
Right? It's going to be step changes.
All right.
The second point that you have around, like, how do we manage the risk against what you call a ballooning credit bubble,
mm-hmm.
right? So one thing that we do is that we focus on short-term financing.
Okay.
So, and we focus a lot on purchase order financing and invoice financing. So that allows us, first and foremost, from a short-term perspective, it allows us to manage and monitor the risk much more closely. So if you look at traditional bank financing, it's typically 2 to 5 years horizon. And the defaults typically happen the 3rd year onwards,
mm-hmm.
right? So for us, we focus on very short-term financing. When I say short-term financing, it's typically less than 12 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So on average, we give financing that's up to, say, 9 months for our regular term finance and 3 to 4 months for our purchase order and invoice financing products.
And right? What's the interest rate like?
So we are, on average, the interest rate is around 1% per month, right?
Okay, 1% per month. So it can go up to 9%. Am I correct? If it's a 9-month loan?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And what makes a loan bad after how many months of not repaying when it comes to your company?
Yes. So we have two definitions for defaults.
Mm-hmm.
So first definition of default for term finance is 90 days past due, which is industry standard. For invoice financing, our definition of default is 60 days past due. The reason why they have differentiated definitions of default is because of the tenor of the financing. So typically for term finance, it's typically on a longer tenor, so 9 to 12 months, and hence the definition of default is longer, so 90 days past due, compared to, say, invoice financing product, which is typically 3 to 4 months in terms of tenor. So we have to have a stricter in terms of definition of default, which is 60 days past due.
Okay.
Now, having said that, The default definition is merely a classification. and a naming of the status of a particular financing, right? In terms of the collection efforts and the recovery efforts, nothing changes, right? So, for example, if we do feel that there is a high chance that the SME is unable to repay the financing, we would pursue sort of collection efforts and litigation earlier, even before it is classified as default.
Okay.
Yep.
So how much earlier?
So it depends on basically our ability to reach out to the SME, our assessment of whether or not there is a strong commitment from their end to make the repayments, right? Typically, we only take litigation efforts against SMEs that are not cooperative.
So how many litigation cases have you had?
So far, we do not have any litigation cases, active litigation cases per se, but we have issued letter of demands, notice of demand, so on and so forth to SMEs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the litigation path is not something that we actively pursue. Right? The first thing that we try to do is basically try to assess why the SME have not been able to make the repayments on time. Most of the time that we have come across in Malaysia is because the customers or their projects' payments have been delayed, and hence they needed more time in order to service the repayments. Right, so we try our best to basically restructure and work out a repayment plan that meets the cash flow cycles and expected cash inflows of the SME. Right, so the litigation path is something that is on the worst case scenario. It's not something that we default to because that doesn't necessarily help anyone. Right, it damages the relationship. Right, with the SME.
I'm speaking to Wong Kah Ming, CEO of Funding Societies Malaysia, a recognised market operator registered by the SC to operate a peer-to-peer financing platform. After this, we'll talk more about the P2P platform and discuss the fast-changing financing landscape. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Wong Kah Ming, CEO of Funding Societies Malaysia, a recognised market operator registered with the SC to operate a peer-to-peer financing platform. Kah Ming, earlier we were talking about the Funding Society's default rates as well as how the journey has been for the company in the past 3 years or so. Now let's shift the conversation to the company's expansion plans. Well, the company, it received the largest Series A and Series B funding for a Southeast Asian P2P financing platform amounting to about $10 million and $25 million. In your Series B funding round that was announced in April last year, it was supported by some big names, and that includes SoftBank. Will you be raising any more funds?
For now, we do have a very healthy cash balance. We do have a very healthy cash balance.
What's your cash balance?
Oh, so it's a bit too sensitive to review.
Oh, okay. Yep. Healthy means in what range? Maybe give a range.
We still have the majority of what we raised in our B round.
Okay.
So that puts us in a very good position in terms of focusing on building the business.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be said, when it comes to fundraising and whatnot, it sounds like something that's very exciting and very fun to do because you're on the road, right? And you're presenting to shareholders and investors. But at the same time, it is not something that is value-adding per se to the day-to-day operations of the business. So in all honesty, fundraising, it is an important part of building a startup because cash is king, right?
Mm.
But at the same time, it is distracting in a sense whereby you are not contributing to the day-to-day improvements and operations of the business. So I think we need to balance those two things. Mm. I think we have had good support from our current shareholders and the fundraising that we've done. But at the same time, now we want to focus a lot on basically figuring out like where do you want to take the business next, how you're going to grow the company, in what other countries we want to expand into. So those are more of the considerations that we have right now in terms of the company itself.
Okay, what ROIs can investors expect?
Yeah. So you're talking about the platform investors?
Yeah.
From a platform investor perspective, we do expect them to get an 8 to 10% interest return before defaults. So you factor in a default rate of, say, target default rate of 3 to 5%, we expect the net return to be in the high or mid-single digit.
Mm.
So it's not a humongous return, but something that is sustainable and reasonable throughout time, right? So that's the balancing point that I was talking about between SMEs and investors.
Mm. And how many investors do you have? And what are they like?
So we have more than 20,000 investors in Malaysia itself. If you count across the region, probably closer to 40,000, 50,000 investors. In terms of demographics-wise, the significant majority of them are actually sort of millennials and digital savvy. Okay. So a lot of investors are actually engaging with us through our mobile application. Right? So a lot of the investments, a lot of the sort of checking of their portfolio, so on and so forth, it is done through the mobile app rather than through the website. Yeah, mm. Because it allows them the convenience to actually invest, manage the portfolio, so on and so forth, on the go.
P2P lenders tend to operate pooled client accounts, combining all funds rather than segregating each other's funds separately. You know, so does this pose a risk to money laundering?
So we have very thorough checks when it comes to managing investor funds. So the first thing is that we do not accept cash deposits.
Okay.
So that removes a lot of the risk when it comes to money mm-hmm. laundering. Mm-hmm. So all the payments or the fund flows that come through us happens through an online banking platform. So that allows us to trace the funds a lot more easily. So that's one. Mm-hmm. The other one is before an investor is able to invest on the platform, you do have to go through a thorough due diligence checks. So basically, we run you through certain databases, global databases that checks for money laundering, terrorism, so on and so forth, before you're actually allowed to invest. Right.
Okay. While P2P lenders are seen as a disruption to traditional lenders like banks, large multinational technology firms like you have, like the Apples, the Googles, Alibabas, they might in turn disrupt both parties, might disrupt the banks as well as the P2P players, right? So what are you doing to protect yourself from disruption?
So I think we come to serve a very different need for the market. So if you compare us to a bank, we are not necessarily a competitor or trying to displace or disrupt the banks, right? We serve a very different need. So for banks, they do very well in the asset-based, collateralized, long-term financing. And that's the space that they are very good at. And we are not entering that space. What we are entering and what we're focusing on is short-term, collateral-free financing. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different spectrum in terms of financing need that we're addressing. In terms of how we think about potential big firms, big technology firms coming into the space. When we thought about starting a company, about financing, we feel that the SME financing landscape, SMEs in general, is a very localized business, right? And hence, there is a need to have the local experience and expertise in order to successfully do or run a peer-to-peer financing platform focusing on SMEs. It's a very different ballgame when you start talking about personal financing and consumer financing, whereby it is a lot about numbers, right? Small ticket financing, a lot of data, so on and so forth. But on the other end, you have SMEs. And SMEs are very different across even Southeast Asian countries. Mm. And that's why we have like local credit teams and sales team for Indonesia, for Singapore and Malaysia. And you'll notice that the way that we assess them and the way that they behave is extremely different.
Oh.
So that's why it creates a natural hedge against foreign technology firms coming into the space.
I see. So can you share some differences when it comes to Malaysian, Singaporean, Indonesians?
The landscape, the credit information landscape and KYC landscape is very distinct between the three countries. Right? You have Indonesia on one end of the spectrum, right? Whereby there's no very comprehensive credit bureau information, right? And things like national identity information, so on and so forth. Those things are not as sophisticated and not as advanced as, say, countries like Malaysia and Singapore. Interestingly enough, Malaysia has a very good database when it comes to credit mm-hmm. information, when it comes to national identity, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one big difference that we notice. And that affects the way that you do the credit assessment and the due diligence process. So that's one example. The other example is when you talk about the different makeup of the industries, right? So if you look at, say, Malaysia, there's still a big chunk of, say, manufacturing, a lot of construction, oil and gas, so on and so forth. But if you look at Singapore, it's no longer a manufacturing hub per se, right? Mm-hmm. It's mostly services, right? On the other hand, you have Indonesia. So the big market there is basically things like agriculture, so on and so forth. So it's a very distinct set of markets. And the way that you do the risk assessment has to be localized. So
very
you need to have local experts that know the market.
Yeah, and when it comes to default rates, your average is 1%. Is it across for all countries or is one country actually better than the other when it comes to good credit?
So it's actually quite consistent across the three countries,
even
if you break it down.
Okay. Yeah.
So it goes back to a matter of your risk appetite.
Okay. Well, earlier you were talking about what's important to the company. It's what's next, right? It's about growing. So share with us your future plans for growth when it comes to the company.
Yep. So definitely we are keen in terms of building up more awareness, the education, so on and so forth. And that means being out there being seen, educating the public, so on and so forth, SMEs and investors. At the same time, we are also looking to partner with more different institutions in order to reach out to more SMEs, right? So, for example, we typically partner with banks, we partner with technology platforms like e-commerce, we partner with, say, accounting firms. Partnerships that will allow us to reach out to many more SMEs and investors, right? At the same time, also hiring up in terms of the sales, credit, and so on and so forth, and also improving the platform experience, right? So how do we elevate our service to both SMEs and investors? What do we expect when they are thinking of financing, right? So how easy is the whole application process, right? How quickly can I get financing dispersed? So we're making improvements to our process to be able to serve the SMEs and investors better.
Where do you see funding societies in, say, 3 to 5 years?
I think we will still be focusing very much on SME financing. Mm-hmm. We will still be focusing very much on Southeast Asia. We do expect to have a much larger organization in terms of being out there serving SMEs and so on and so forth. But I think that, true to our vision, that's basically where we want to be in the next 3 to 5 years.
I've been speaking to Wong Kar Ming, CEO of Funding Societies Malaysia, a P2P platform here. Kar Ming, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I'm Joyce Goh for The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.